This is the Kinky Cast. This is an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 68 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. In today's episode, we have FetLife's John Baku with some views on running a successful kinky business. Here's your hosts, Woody and the Beast.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another edition of the Kinky Cast. Hey, Beast, how you doing over there?
I am good, Woody. I had a bit of a lull this afternoon and almost fell asleep at my desk, which in my occupation would have been hazardous to my health.
Yeah, swift kick in the ass there.
Well, yeah. No, I would have woken up with my head shaved. And
you got to watch who you hang out with, man.
Well, you know, I've got a bunch of juvenile delinquents around me. So anyway, but we're here. We are talking to the far reaches of the world. Well, at least the West Coast. And we have John Baku on the Skype line with us. And the quality of the sound is just awesome today.
Hey, John, how are you?
Good, you guys.
So you're in the darkest Vancouver, Canada.
You know, I'm not born and raised here. I moved here a couple of years ago. I say a couple, but it's probably about 4 years now. I'm originally from the East Coast. I'm an East Coaster at heart, but I don't like staying in the same place for long periods of time, so I moved here 4 years ago.
So you're out living the life. There it is.
I wouldn't say living the life. We're just living in a different location.
And all of your staff is remote, so you can work from anywhere in the world, including Tahiti, right?
Yeah, we have somebody in England, we have somebody in Germany, we have somebody in Brazil, and we have people all across North America as well. So, I mean, I know one of our engineers this week, it was a little, I think the rain was depressing. Don't quote me. Well, I guess you're going to quote me. It's a podcast. But it was a little grim in England. I think it was a little cloudy. So he's like, you know what, for the week, I'm going to go work in a much, you know, in a sunnier part of the world. And he went to a sunnier part of the world to work from there.
That's a tough life, man. I wish I could have done that.
It's a new world. It's a new world out there.
It is. And for those who just crawled out from under a rock and don't know who John Baku is, he is the founder of FetLife, the service that links us all together.
Allegedly.
I think it's doing a pretty good job. What's the member count up to?
You know what? I would not normally know, but I was updating some stuff today and somebody told me it was 3.9 million.
Well, have we seen a post 50 Shades swelling, or did it start even before the movies?
I think there was a slight little bump with the 50 Shades. Have any of you seen the movie? I haven't.
No, I refuse.
I have. I went with the kinky community. It was fun to watch the vanillas.
Was it a good movie?
It was an okay movie. It was better than the book.
Okay. Well, I definitely didn't read that
either. Woody, you said nothing there for the movie.
So, yeah, there was a little bump in traffic, nothing crazy.
I am seeing some posts right now on people that are referring they're new to the lifestyle and they came in after seeing 50 Shades. In fact, I just saw another one come up in a post today. So there is some effect of it, and people are looking for kinky outlets, and here you are.
So 3.9 million, and I've saw you've been on a hiring binge here lately, haven't you?
Yeah, we have.
How is this thing growing? We talked to you about a year ago, and how is this thing growing this year?
From a team perspective, we've grown a lot. Before this conversation, I was like, okay, if they ask me about the hiring, how many people we hired, I calculated the number, and then I forgot it really quickly. So we brought on 3 engineers, 3 new caretakers, a project manager. So that's, oh yeah, 4 engineers, sorry. So 4, 3, 1, that's 8. So we hired 8 people and we're looking for 2 to 3 more right now. And this is just in 2015 and we're March. So it's pretty quick.
So you're definitely meeting your growth projections here.
We never had growth projections. It's not about the growth projections. We're kind of a little late in the hiring thing. We were apprehensive to hire. We were scared to hire. You know, hey, there was some drama behind the scenes. Let's just say that we weren't in the position to hire, and you know, we got our ducks in order and everything, and you know, we finally started to hire, and it's been great. It's we're really, really happy. But we still realize, even with this size of team, we're really small.
How small is it now? What's the head count?
I think we're 18 people.
18 people to serve 3.9 million.
That is a pretty good ratio.
Yeah.
We're underserving the community at 18 people. You know, from other tech companies with the size of site that we have, you know, usually they're between 50 to 100 people. So we're definitely understaffed. But, you know, we're a bootstrapped site. You know, we never took funding. We never wanted to take funding. You know, we wanted to build it the old-fashioned way because we never wanted to, you know, we never wanted the influence of Moneybags saying, hey, you got to do this, you got to do that. We got to make our money. We want to do it the right way and control our destiny. So it's a different type of grind.
So you're an old-fashioned guy in a newfangled industry.
I'm definitely old school. Definitely old school.
That's really a good way to run a company, is growing it on demand instead of just getting out like so many Silicon Valley companies did of overinvesting.
Yeah, I mean, if we did it the other route and we got investment, basically, you know, we would have no choice but to put our heart and soul into it for 5 years and sell it. You know, because you have no choice. There has to be an out. You know, there has to be a way for the investors to make their money back. And that wasn't the thing. I started this and I was like, yeah, I see myself doing this for 30, 40, 50 years. You know, the day I'll leave is the day where I feel like I can't bring any value anymore, or I feel like there's somebody who's in a better position to do a better job than me.
As long as there's kinky people, then you have a job.
As long as we're properly servicing the community, then I'll have a job. If we suck, then I will be out of a job. You know what? It's funny. I made an announcement to the team at the beginning of this year. If we don't smarten up, I'm going to fire myself. And you know, we've been delivering. We did a great job in hiring those 8 people. All 8 of them are really amazing people. And I'm looking forward to announcing them to the community over the next couple of weeks. And hopefully we'll just continue to grow.
But even with this small staff, y'all haven't slowed down with innovations. You've just rolled out some new stuff today.
I would say that the community would probably disagree with that statement slightly. We haven't done anything for like 2-3 years. We were just trying to keep our head above water for the last 2 or 3 years. It's only recently, once we brought on those and grow the team, have we started seeing the fruits of that labor. So we've been, over the past couple of weeks, starting to deliver new features and new improvements to the site. The one that we delivered today was we increased the roles. A lot of people have been asking for us to add a lot of different roles to the site, and we've doubled the size of our role list based on our people's suggestions in the suggestion box and based on people's feedback on the announcement we made about the suggested list. And then we've also beefed up our security and privacy to make it so that we can better combat automated traffic. Those are like the two big things we've improved in the past little while, and a bunch of things behind the scenes as well to better support the caretaking team so that the caretaking team can better support the community.
Automated data collection, or scraping, mm-hmm. as it's often called, has been a real controversy in the recent weeks.
Definitely.
These people are trolls. They're out finding ways to scrape your database to fill theirs. And it's certainly not in the spirit of what FetLife is about.
That's right.
I imagine policing that, you've had to come up with some creative ways, but I know that you've done it.
Yeah, it's a problem that, listen, if there's a will, there's always a way. And if somebody has enough time, there's always a way. For instance, you know, I could go to every single profile, write it down, and copy the nickname, copy the age, copy the sex, put it in a database, and give me enough time, I'll be able to create a database of all the members on the site. But, you know, we've made it so it's very, very difficult to be able to do in any type of realistic, timely fashion, by making it so that, you know, if you try to hit the site hard, you know, we stop you and we lock you out of your account very quickly. And we look for certain types of patterns and so on and so forth. I'm gonna play devil's advocate and defend the people who have been, you know, quote unquote, scraping FetLife. The people who have been scraping FetLife have been doing it because they weren't trying to be malicious in the sense that they didn't want to out anybody. They didn't want to screw anybody. What they wanted to do is be able to more easily find people. And what I mean by find people is find people that they might be interested in having a relationship with. So from that perspective, you know, I'm not going to say that these people are bad people. They're just people who are technologically savvy and see a problem that wants to be solved. You know, because FetLife is an anti-dating site, it's also the site that has the highest ratio of female to male members. So it's the best place for to go for dating. So yeah, I think it just needs to be said that they're not trying to be malicious. They're not trying to be mean. They're not trying to be bad people. They're just trying to scratch their own itch. We have to not just combat automated traffic, but we have to find a way in the long term to make it so that people who do want to use FetLife as a dating site, who do want to use it to be able to find other people that they can have a relationship, should be able to do it while protecting and shielding that away from people who are just there to be social and just to keep up with their friends.
And this sounds like an incredibly complex task, the balancing act, and then just the programming side of it just sounds incredibly complex.
It's more of a social thing. It's more of a complex, it's hard thing to do simple and to make sure that we address the concerns of the community as well as make it so that, you know, FetLife continues to be the site that everybody loves because it's an anti-dating site. So, I mean, in the past, people have suggested that, you know, we just make a part of FetLife that's just accessible to people who want to opt in and find other people who are also looking for relationships. I mean, there's all different things we can do as long as we put first the people who've been a member for so long.
There is this thought that every resident of Antarctica must be a member of Fed.
Right? Oh, it's a huge kinky community down there.
Yes, it is.
We're all retiring to Antarctica.
Absolutely.
And many of those people, I imagine, represent the anti-dating group that don't want to become part of the meat market by taking their location and hiding it.
Or maybe they do selectively.
Yeah, that's another perfect example of they're not the people who put Antarctica. They didn't do it for malicious reasons. They just want to protect their identity. And, you know, we should make a way so that if you don't want to be listed in the places section of FetLife, that you can easily opt out of it. And these are the things that we're looking at doing now to kind of make it so that FetLife becomes more flexible for different types of use cases.
The scraping also, I understood there was a bit of a controversy involving people wanting to create registers of perceived offenders. Is that related to this scraping also, or is that a separate issue?
Perceived offenders of what?
Perceived offenders of consent violators and so forth.
Oh, yeah. No, this I don't, like, I haven't heard about this before. I mean, I think I might have heard it in passing. Because it comes up every so often, but this has nothing to do with the scraping thing.
Okay, and I know that you all have come down squarely on this as a police matter and not a matter for social media to resolve.
Yeah, it's something that you know, we always have to re-question, and I ask myself again, you know, what is the right thing to do? We're still, you know, on the side of, hey, you know, the best people to make these decisions are our police and the court of law. I know how police and the court of law hasn't worked for everybody. It's one of those things where we're constantly reevaluating and constantly looking for a better solution, but we just don't know what that better solution is. We don't think just swinging the pendulum in the opposite direction and saying, okay, you know, let's make a database for everybody to, you know, put who they think is an offender in is really the right way to go either.
A little too much democracy deciding who is what.
It's, you know, when it comes to making a very large statement like that, that can, you know, it's, there's a reason why the court system exists. There's a reason why police exists. And there's a reason why juries exist. And we just don't have the resources to properly, you know, have a type of system in place so that we can hear both sides and get both sides and be judge, jury, and executioner. And then we don't have the resources to even be able to, like, make any ramifications other than kicking them off the site.
And then you can't prevent them from coming back unless you get into a complex screening of new members.
We've banned members who have been added to the sex registry. Like, if anybody has any proof that anybody has done something bad, what's the exact term that we use? I can't remember the exact term, but, you know, let's say if somebody's ever, like, sexually assaulted somebody, and we have any proof of that from, like, you know, the courts, you know, the person has been convicted of it, you know, they're banned from FetLife. And, you know, if they ever do come back, you know, they can't come back, but eventually the truth always comes up. And then 3 months later, somebody says, oh, this person that I got close with is really that person, you know. And then we look into it. We're like, yeah, you're right. And we delete them again.
That's the thing. People keep popping up as sock puppets and, You know, there's all kinds of different ways to get around it. But as soon as you create the relational database of who's who, you can pull them down again.
Yeah, yeah. The truth always comes out.
On a more interesting and exciting and positive note, what's in the near future? I mean, you're getting your team ramped up,
yeah,
and you're getting new things coming out. Do we have, mm-hmm, any great ideas that are being massaged in the back room?
You know, in the past, I used to answer that question all the time. I'd I'd disappoint, and then I'd regret it. So I'm not going to say what we're working on. I don't want to comment on anything other than, you know, what we've just recently launched. But all I can say is that we're continuing to hire, and we're continuing to push forward and trying to make FetLife better every single day. We're spending a lot of time in the suggestion box, you know, better understanding what members want. We're speaking to members to better understand what they need and what they want from a community site. And it's overwhelming because there's just so much we need to do for the community to properly serve them.
Service them? I had to go there.
Boy.
If you had that feature, I think you'll do very well.
Yeah.
The suggestion box. I have a personal question. How do I change my votes in the suggestion box?
So let's say you voted for three things and you want to change one of your votes and put it on something else. Yeah. You just go back to the one that you, if I remember correctly, you just have to go to the thing you voted on that you no longer want to vote for, click it, and then it unvotes it. The same place that you clicked on vote is the same place you clicked to unvote on something, and then vote on something else.
Okay. I may do that because some of the suggestions that I voted for, I know are going nowhere. Time to vote on things that might have a better future.
So let me flip this conversation around. What would you guys like to see if you could only choose three things that we would work on before we would not touch FetLife ever again? I was to say, you know what? We're all retiring in three features. You know, what are those three features each one of you would like to see us implemented?
Ooh, such power.
Yes.
I am terrible. I would like to see H6 location feature. I am terrible, but more so, I think I'd like to see a more geographic search. It's become so fine on some of the cities that two cities can be neighboring and you got to run searches for a large group of cities to look for people instead of being able to run like the Nashville area, which is many, many cities now.
So related zip codes.
Related zip codes.
Yeah, I agree. So what's your other two? Because geographic search and ASL is pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. My other two, more privacy features on photos. You can better restrict photo access. I currently have a very generic photo up. I'd like to be able to restrict photos to certain people more tightly. Not just all my friends necessarily, but to select friends.
Okay.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And what's your third?
I don't have a third. I'm pretty happy with the site.
Liar.
No, I am. No, I am.
We both use it every day.
The email tool might be tweaked a little bit, but I understand the way it is now to prevent spam. Mm-hmm. And, you know, their private events might be handy to be able to create private events.
That's a good third one.
And restrict and not make those so public so that you could use it as a more social planner.
Kind of the same subgroup of your friends that you want to send your special photos to, you can have on a private party
about group. List. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now, do you agree with those three things, or would you give a different three lists?
I have a need. I'm very into the poly side of things.
Okay.
And so creating a house, right now everybody can be a member of each other's house. But mm-hmm. to actually set up a hierarchical structure to where this is the house and here are the members of it would be very nice to have.
Okay.
That's kind of my main one. Let's see.
Wow, there must be more than that.
We are really happy users.
Yeah. You know, other than just kind of organizing data and friends into categories that are more meaningful. Okay, here number two, email groups to where I can set up a list of people that I want to send like a regular email to. And that could be like a party group, or it could be like a close friends group, or it could be a family group. I just want to say, you are in special group. And then if I send out an email to special groups, it goes to them.
Makes sense. Okay.
So I guess we both come to our biggest, one of our concerns right now is that we have friends and then we have close friends.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a difference in the way we want to interact and treat those people and how much of our lives we want to share with the friends and how much of it we want to share with our close friends.
Well, first of all, lucky you guys, you know, to say that you have friends. I don't have friends. I have one friend.
And, John, I'll be your friend.
Oh,
that's so now nice. You have two.
Okay. So that makes a lot of sense. You know, all the stuff you're talking about are things that we're thinking a lot about on how to properly, it's not just about making it happen, but finding the right way to make it happen. So it's a good user experience. So these are all things that I've written them down. And I'm going to make sure that they're on our roadmap somewhere, if they're the ones that are not. Like the house one, that's something it's the first time I've heard of it like that. And the more finer-grained privacy, that's something definitely we have to think about. But the other stuff are stuff that I've heard about many times, and it's all stuff that we're really thinking about a lot and trying to find the right way to do it.
It was just about a year ago that you were on last. It was last June. And that was a milestone for the Kinky Cast because that when we aired your episode and you just made a subtle mention to your 17,000 friends at the time that you were going to be on the Kinky Cast, you do remember I called you.
Yeah.
And I said, help, my server crashed. And so what I want to do is say, the offer's on the table. Try to crash it again.
So did you guys go with SoundCloud? Or?
Yes, we did. We're on SoundCloud, and they're handling the main traffic, and they claim unlimited bandwidth, which I laugh at. So let's test the system.
Those crazy Germans. SoundCloud is a German company. I'll definitely promote it.
I'm coming for the rope.
You know, I'm going for the electricity.
I've heard they've even got classes for introverts.
It's Southeast Leather Fest. You never know what's going to happen.
SeLeatherFest.com. Come to South June 11th through the 14th in Atlanta and erect your vision.
Last year, we talked about you have an office in Vancouver.
Did have an office.
So everybody has gone working out of their homes now?
Yeah.
It's a different discipline when you're not going to the office every day. How do you do meetings? Is it you do Skype meetings or voice calls or what?
So the reason why we decided to close the office was because what happened was the people who were in Vancouver ended up working much closely together. And the people that were outside of Vancouver were kind of like left out. And it just created this awkward situation where the people who were sitting right next to me got my attention much quicker than the people that were, you know, thousands of kilometers away or miles away. And the problem was is that the engineers, there was no engineers or designers in the in-house. They were all outside of Vancouver. So I ended up spending all my time on caretaking, which was the wrong place for me to put my priority. So we wanted to kind of create a level playing field. So we closed the office. And we felt that was a competitive advantage, is that, you know, instead of us being like, okay, we have an office in Vancouver, we have to find people in Vancouver. So here we are. We want to find kinky engineers and designers in Vancouver. That's just, you know, that's very, very, very limiting as opposed to you say, you know, I want to find the best kinky engineers and designers in the world. So that's another reason. I'm all over the place. I'm sorry. So we closed it. It was a little depressing at first for the people who loved coming to the office. But very quickly, people just really loved the fact that they were working at home. The comfort of their own home. So like, if I liked the office really, really cold and other people liked it really warm, you know, we didn't have to argue anymore. I mean, there was a guy in the office that would have this, you know, we'd had to buy a heat lamp for him because, you know, he was always really, really cold and I was always really hot because I'm a big boy and I'd be blasting the air conditioning in the office. And I think everybody's happier. And believe it or not, I think everybody works even harder now. I think the harder thing now is like to keep the work-life balance. Because in my case, like I'm always working. As opposed to like when I was in the office, you know, I could leave the office and be like, oh, you know, my computer's at office or I don't have my normal desk. You know, I'm going to watch TV. I find that people work harder And for the most part, it's all very positive. Sure, you know, today I was like, again, he's the guy I work closest with. I was like, damn, you know, it would have been nice if we were all in the same office because I could easily have solved this problem without typing, you know, something for 5 minutes straight and trying to resolve it. But it's not a problem really of the office. It's we should have just gone on Skype quicker. So we use Skype. We started using Google Hangouts a lot for meetings. We use Slack, kind of have asynchronous communication all day, which is just like a chat room. It's like the old school IRC, but it's not.
John, I just kind of realized here, you are the CEO of what may be the smallest international corporation.
You know what? We're one of the biggest sites on the internet, guys.
But your staff is one of the smallest for an international corporation.
Yeah, our old CTO would go to conferences and would talk about the site, and they're like, holy crap, your team must be huge. And he was like, no, our engineering team is 2 people. And they're like, what? Are you fucking kidding me? Like, you know, we would have thought at least 20, 30 people, 30 engineers alone. And they're like, no, we're 2 people, man.
And the span of control here, you got people in Germany, you say, that's working on the same time frame as people in North America?
No, there's as long as there's some type of overlap, a couple hours overlap, there's not a problem. I mean, there's a benefit to having people work in different time zones.
Yeah, they get work done overnight.
They're like, okay, nobody's, I don't know about you guys, but when I used to work in an office, my most productive time was when everybody left.
Right. I agree.
So all of a sudden it's just like, haha, I only have to be in the office for when everybody's there for 2-3 hours and I can talk to people. And the other times I can be highly focused and working and not be bothered. So it's more like when I showed up to work today at 5:30 that people in Europe were more like, damn, I mean, I'm going to be annoyed and I won't be able to concentrate as well.
The boss is in the building.
Yeah, it's more distraction than anything.
The boss is virtual.
You know, it's.
So you're saying you're one of the biggest sites on the internet. So what is the traffic level going through your servers?
A couple billion requests a month.
So it's pretty sizable. Yeah. You know, you can look down just to the south of you and see Facebook's multiple buildings of thousands of servers.
Yeah.
And you just skate along in your virtual world. It makes me smile.
We're the largest unknown site in the world. And we like it that way. We don't want anybody to know who we are. We like it that way.
Stay off Google's map.
Yeah.
Which you have done very well keeping them at bay.
Yeah. It's like I was saying about earlier on about like venture capital is that if a company invested in us, they would be like, hey, we want all your pages open to Google because that's how you're going to exponentially grow. And we're like, no, we don't want to exponentially grow. We want to organically grow. And as people are exploring their sexuality and come across FetLife, that's amazing. We don't need to have the hockey stick growth curve to be happy.
Well, you're not reporting to a bunch of venture capitalists.
Yeah. How did this become the VC cast?
It's the business of kink. And because nobody talks about this in other worlds, it's kind of an interesting lesson in what you can do if you apply yourself to what you love. That's what you did all these years ago, back in 2008.
2008, yeah, that's when we started.
And so you put your passion out there, and you worked around through your financial issues, and you got it there. It's my hat's off to you. You are the kind of entrepreneur that I wish to be one day.
It's a lifestyle. It's a role.
It does limit your playtime, I suppose.
What playtime? you have to ask my partner. She's like, so I'm dating I live with dating, whatever you want to call it these days. I'm partnered with somebody who works at FetLife, and I have the most boring and mundane, you know, life. This is just so weird. I'm just like, yeah, this is of course. You know, I want to see you dressed because I don't see people dressed all day, and I want to see dressed people.
Our priorities shift when it becomes like this. You know, just like I'm very heavily into the poly life, and so I have to make an effort to go to all my partners and give them all the time that they deserve, which does limit my time, of course, but they deserve it. And so you have to force yourself to do it. So,
for sure they deserve it, but man, that sounds complicated.
It is.
I couldn't do it if my life depended on it. I can barely take care of one person.
Well, sometimes they got to take care of you. That's the nice thing about it.
Yeah, but it's only fair if you take care of them back in return, which I know you do, but it's just, yeah.
And you won't give us those backroom tidbits. I fully understand why, but, you know, we live on scandal, you know.
It's I've been watching a lot of House of Cards lately, but it's not because I want to be secretive or hide things from people. It's I do this because, you know, it's I really, really, really get a lot of personal satisfaction from making people happy.
Well, and you don't want to overpromise because people then take that as an expectation and they get disappointed.
Yeah, I always find when people don't expect anything and then you do great stuff for them, it's just there's this huge, like, oh my God. It's like when you get somebody a present for their birthday versus you get a present for some random day. That present for the random day is going to put such a huge smile on their face. But if they're like, no, it's my birthday, you best get me a present. It's not as selfish of me, but it's just not as exciting. I love to give people presents on days that it's not their birthday. Of course, you got to give it for the birthday as well. But it's like, well, why just the birthday? You know?
It actually is more effective when it isn't.
Exactly.
You give somebody a present, a flower, a card, they're not expecting it, and they light up like a Christmas tree. It's a wonderful thing.
So all I can promise the community is that every day the whole team and I are going to come in, and we're going to kill it. You know, we're all members of the community. We all use FetLife, and it's in our best interest to make FetLife better. You know, as members of the community, and we're gonna try our best now every day.
It's a great tool, and since KinkyCast has been on FetLife, we are up around 2,000 friends, which, you know, in a year, I feel it's pretty good growth.
No, it's very nice.
And, you know, we're not nearly John Baku, but someday.
Yeah, but you know what? I have an unfair advantage. I'm like, hey, I programmed it in such a way that if you have no friends when you join, it's like, hey, if you have no friends, you can always friend me up. So that's very unfair. I'm sure if I didn't have that there, I would have 5 friends.
Let's talk for a second about friending. There is the issue where I will go out and blind friend people. I will go out and see a post they put up and I go, hey, that's cool. And I'll shoot them a friend request. I look at their profile and see if they have any objection. Some people say, you know, feel free to shoot me a friend request. In that case, I do. In the event that somebody says, you know, don't send it a request without an email, I will then pound out an email and say, hey, I saw a post. I like what you do. I'm sending you a friend request. And most of the time, they are very friendly and come back and accept without any issue. Every now and then, I get the who in the hell do you think you are spamming me?
Yeah.
And I'm sure they block. I've been blocked a couple times. And so, you know, when I light up on your screen, you'll know it's me.
I've noticed you're the most blocked member of FetLife.
Yeah, thanks.
Just a couple of
true.
Times.
That's not true.
Do you have those stats?
I know where the stats are. Do I know them off by heart? No. But I remember like 3 years ago checking in, and I was like top 10 most blocked.
Really?
Yeah, members of the team get blocked very quickly. You know, people go to the team page and they say, okay, these are the members of the team, so I want to block them so they can't see me.
Oh, that's crazy.
It doesn't work.
Does it work?
No, I mean, they can't block you. You can always find a way around it. You got the inside.
You got the key.
Oh, for sure. There's always a way around it. But like, I put no effort into it. The rule for the caretaking team is if you're blocked by another member, just ask somebody else to do the case. Don't touch the case.
Yeah.
But if every single caretaker is blocked by a certain member, well, there's nothing we can do about that. Somebody has to do it. But if it's just one member or 2 members of the team that are blocked by somebody else, there's a reason for it, and the caretakers don't do the case.
How prevalent is blocking? Do you see it a lot?
You know, everybody has 1 or 2 or 3 blocks. I'm sure the average is like 1 or 2 per member.
Mm-hmm. So it's not that bad then?
Oh, no, it's not that bad. But some people, like, you know, hijack the feature and just, you know, and I think it rings a bell. I've seen a member say, you know, I'm going to hit you up. I think it was a gentleman said, I'm going to hit you up. And if you don't like me, don't like me emailing you, just block me. So I know not to email you again or message you again. So in that case, you know, that person's blocked a lot. But the average person doesn't have any, the average, I'm sure the average is like 2 to 3. And I'm sure there's a lot of members who do not have blocks. And if they do, it's just because, you know, it's their ex in the community or whatever, or they're just asshats, which is a whole other level.
There are a lot of asshats out there. And these are the people without profiles, without pictures. They're just out there trolling. Come on, people, meet us halfway. Be a human being.
Yeah, how about just not meet us all the way or get your ass kicked off the site? That's what I say.
Well, and I'd agree.
Once I get my head above water, things might change in that respect. And my head is starting to pop above water, so be scared. When it comes to friending, that's something that I have a very strong opinion on. You know, when I first started FetLife, I was like, yeah, friending. You're friending people in the community. And then people hijack that feature to basically like, hey, if you want to follow me and get my updates, you know, just friend me, even though we're not friends. So when the suggestion box popped up, if I remember correctly, you know, one of the first suggestions that I had to the suggestion box was allow people not to just friend somebody, but to follow somebody. In the case of KinkyCast, that's great. You know, instead of having like 2,000 friends, you might have 2,000 followers and zero friends.
Yeah, which would make sense.
Exactly. And in the case of you guys or anybody on the site, I'm sure there's certain people that you'd love to follow to get their updates, but you're not friends with them. When people are using friends to be able to follow somebody, basically, you know, it's diluting what friends really mean. Because when it comes to dating, you want to be able to say, oh, you're friends with three people? Well, if you're friends with them, then you're probably a good person. And when,
which is not an endorsement, right?
But with the fact that we you know, friending is using as following, you know, it doesn't mean anything, and that sucks that friending has been diluted. So, you know, to me, I think following is going to have a huge future in FetLife. It's one of those features that I'm hugely behind. You know, I'm trying to get my team to get behind it as well. But it's one of the things that I'm super, super excited about. I can't tell you when or we'll be working on it or if we ever will work on it. But it's something that if I was still programming, I would implement it while I was sleeping.
The KinkyCast would be very interested in hopping on that one early because that's what we're all about.
Exactly. I mean, it makes perfect sense for you guys.
The way I use the site a lot is I'll go into different groups. If I'm interested in doing a show on a particular subject, I'll go find a group that's related to that. I'll go in, watch some threads, and I'll start to develop a show. Sometimes I want some information from somebody, I'll put out a post and say, hey, we're doing a show on this subject. Anybody interested, hit me up. And I'll be darned, my inbox lights up and people are very giving. And we're doing a show on squirting here pretty shortly that is based on just that type of technique.
Nice, nice.
And I was able to get tops and bottoms and males and females, everybody's viewpoint on it. Very interesting way to put together a production.
Definitely much more interesting than whatever I talked about today.
What you talk about is kind of the glue that holds us all together.
I noticed that you had Lee Harrington on episode 52. Lee Harrington's definitely one of my favorite people in the community.
And he's up there real close to you, too.
Where is he?
He's in Alaska.
He's in Alaska now?
Yeah, he's in Alaska now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, why?
As he said, love.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, everybody has a reason to do something.
Well, you did. Here, I'm pimping your show. I mean, you had Lee Harrington and the next week, Midori. I mean, you had the two biggest names.
Well, we have John Baku on this week.
I appreciate that. But
next week we have Ernest Green and Nina Hartley.
Back from episode 33.
Back from episode 33.
I didn't realize you're such a fan, John. I am flattered.
Huge, huge.
Well, you know, they're coming up on episode 69. You're episode 68. But
you did? Oh, what?
Yeah, you know, I figured for 69, I need a couple and, you know, somebody that's really into the oral thing, so.
That's, I'm very disappointed, guys. I think the conversation's over.
He's hurt. Just remember, 68 is the speed limit of sex because at 69, you have to turn around.
That's a good one. So I appreciate on episode 25, the last time I was on, that you used a skinny picture of me. Thank you.
If you want to send me a new picture, I will use that one. Well, fine. Then I'll use anything I want. Also in episode 70, Cleo Dubois is visiting with us.
Oh, I've met Cleo. A very, very nice person.
So we've had some really interesting people come through the cast and drop some interesting things. But the daily tool that we use here for producing shows and all that is FetLife. And so that's one reason why you're such a part of our life.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I've felt very guilty over the years that we haven't been able to do a good enough job for the community. I think that's just a cross I'm going to bear for the rest of my life. It's just I'm hard on myself. But in this case, I think there are very strong reasons. But we do definitely hope in the next year that we turn things around and we do a much better job of taking care of the community. And like I've told the team, if we don't make a big enough improvement in the next year, I'm out. The team has the right to fire me.
Well, from what I see, you've got some nice new tools in there, and you're taking very good care of the community. And so we look forward to talking to you next year and see how you're doing and not unemployed.
That would suck.
John, thank you so much for spending your time with us today. We consider you a good friend of the cast, and we look forward to hearing from you soon.
Hey, guys, keep up the good work.
You have been listening to episode 68 of The Kinky Cast. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of Woody, the Beast, and all our kinky crew, I'm Max. See you next week when we have Hollywood's power couple, Ernest Green and Nina Hartley.